I'm so excited to share the word as we continue to live in this call of now is the time. We're going to look at John chapter 4, and I think we're going to look at this week and next week because there's no way we can get the whole 30-plus verses in on one Sunday and kind of do it justice. So we're going to look at a good bit of it today, and we're going to look at the story of Jesus who reaches out to someone who the world says, that's not someone you should care about. That's not someone that you should have relation. Nothing good should happen by you two talking to each other, reaching out, or sharing God's love with each other. But we're going to go there because we're looking at this idea of now is the time. And we're looking at that we've got to stop living in the patterns and the pain of the past. It's time to stop that. Whether we change relationships, circumstances, jobs, regardless of what changes on the outside, some things have to start changing on the inside because Jesus died and rose again to give us more than these patterns in our life. Can I get an amen for that? All right? We need to start living in the victory and the purpose Jesus has for us. And I was even praying this morning, and the Lord said, Sean, now is the time for some people to stop obsessing about that they're different from everybody else and just start making a difference because they are who they are. And I just feel like the Lord's calling us to take steps forward. And in the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at this, that the very first words of Jesus were, you need to repent. And that wasn't just repent of doing bad things. We've talked about it's a way of thinking. It's living in the world's ideas or living in the kingdom of God and how he says life should be. That we have to really empty ourselves of always worshiping self and always thinking about our control and what we're going to do and living as a result in the fear and always focusing on what I'm afraid of. And instead, we need to follow Jesus. And in the kingdom, instead of thinking about ourselves, we think about God's family that we are part of and secure in. We think about faith. We don't know everything by control, but we know it by faith in Jesus and his word. We live in grace. And the end story about my life and my kids' life and everything is not what I can do. It's what he's done. That's what I count on in this life. And I act in love and not in fear. And we just talked about these things. And if we really want to make our life, if we really want to repent and we finish saying, okay, Lord, I'm gonna repent of thinking the wrong way, then we need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But it leads to another now, because Jesus' first now was repentance. The first thing he said in public, one of the last things he ever said to the disciples was, you need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We did that last week. Today we're going to talk about now is the time to recognize the harvest around you. Let's not just, because if I empty of what's wrong, and if I get filled with what's right, what's the purpose of getting filled with that? Except that it should pour not just in me, but overflow to those around me. So we're going to read a story where the disciples are following Jesus, but they're still thinking like the world in several ways. And they don't even recognize the opportunities and the power and the joy of what Jesus has all around them. And I want us to look at our own lives and say, Lord, would you speak to us? So because it was so many verses, I basically took some of the easier translations and I wrote it out on the screen, and this way we can read through it. I encourage you to read John chapter 4 in its entirety. We'll come back and hit the other passages next week. But let's read this together. Let's remember this is the word of God, and it has power and deserves our honor and our worship, our reverence this morning as we worship him. So I'll just read, you just follow along silently. Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria, and there Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting alone beside the well. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of your enemies, a Samaritan? Jesus answered, if you knew who it is that is talking with you, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. And the woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. In other words, how are you going to give me this water? Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. And the woman rightly said, I'll take some. Well, Jesus said, okay, life's not just about you, so why don't you go get your husband and we'll all talk together. And if you're familiar with the story, the woman answers, I have no husband. Jesus said, yeah, you're right about that, for you have actually had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. The woman, as Captain Obvious steps right next to her, says, I perceive you're a prophet, okay? This obvious God's speaking to you and through you. Now, we're going to take the rest of their conversation and the story next week, but we're going to skip ahead to where the disciples come back because Jesus has challenged her, now's the time to really worship God, here I am, believe in me. And the disciples come back because they've gone shopping and they come back and they marvel that he was talking with a Samaritan woman. And the woman leaves and went into town and said, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And as the Samaritans are coming out to see Jesus, they're supposed to be enemies with the Jews. They hate each other. There's no racial story in America that is worse than the one between the Samaritans and the Jews. The history, the injustice, the hate, the prejudice. Now they're coming out to see Jesus. And Jesus says to his disciples, and it's the focus of the call of now is the time, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, right now, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready right now for a harvest. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the beauty of your word, and as we have worshiped you as worthy, as we worship you as the one, Lord, to build our life on, we've sang, Lord, show us who you are and show us your heart for others. So today, give us the joy, Lord, of getting free from self and self-concern, and Lord, turning to see the family of God all around that you want to reach, that you want future family. Dear Lord, people you care about that are hurting. And help us not see like our past, like the world, but teach us to see like you see. And we just ask it now in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Jesus is weary, he's tired, and yet he lives out this truth that God wants to speak to you and I this morning. That now is the time to recognize that there are people all around you who are ready to be loved and transformed by Jesus. Okay, Pastor Sean, I'll take your word for it. All right, well, here we go. Why don't we see them? Because we don't recognize the harvest around us because the world and our past has taught us to look at people the wrong way. I want you to hear it this morning. So Jesus says right now, by the Holy Spirit, right now, he's saying, Sean, if you'll look around your life, there's a harvest all around you, but you're going to have to open up your eyes and you're going to have to look at the field that's around you. Well, the reason we don't see is because most of the time, my eyes are fixed on me, so they're basically closed to everybody else, right? And I've got that, oh yeah, oh Jesus, I totally care about that. In 4 months, once I get past this, I'm totally going to do that, right? So we got that mentality too. But most of all, Jesus says, look at the fields. Like, open your eyes, look at the fields. In other words, maybe we're looking at other things. And so I want us to look at this story for a few minutes, and I want you to see how the world wants to teach us to look at the people around us the wrong way, and yet how Jesus wants to teach us to look as a field of harvest. So here we go. Number one, we can't recognize God's harvest when we're looking at the labels of the past instead of God's grace in the presence. We talked about that whole idea that when we are in the world's mindset and we think of self and we think of control and we think of work and we think of what we're afraid of, it leads to sin, that leads to death, that leads to what? Condemnation. You know what condemnation is? Condemnation's a label. You'll never change. It's a stereotype. You're this type of people, and you people always. That's what that is, all right? And the world builds labels and tries to separate and isolate when God's bringing us together and wanting to bring healing to us. And what I love about this passage is John 4:4, because it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Well, the truth is, no Jew in his day ever went through Samaria unless it was an absolute emergency. Because the history of the Samaritans and the Jews is that the Samaritans are half Jewish, half mixed, backgrounds of cultures of all these other people. And the Jews and the Samaritans have this long history of violence and prejudice and hurting each other. And any kind of race war that we have today, they're right up there with us, if not more, believe it or not. And so a good God-fearing Jew who had to go to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year, when he had to go back up north, he did not go through Samaria. What he did, or she did, or the family did, was they got about up to here, and then they took the long way around. That's what every Jew did. That's what they did. That was what the world said. The world taught the Jewish people, build a life around these people. Don't connect with them. Don't go near them. It's not worth it. Let's remember the past. Let's remember what people in that people group did that aren't like you. And then let's label them. And let's build this whole world. Let's literally, if we have to, make life harder on ourselves to get where we need to go, because we're not going through that place. And yet, the Bible says Jesus looked at all the patterns of the world and all the lamb said, could care less. Went right this way. Went right up. Said, no, I'm going that way. Matter of fact, because I'm in the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom world, I've got to go that way. I want you to think about that. All right? And when we think in the flesh, and we think about self now, in the flesh, in the world's eyes, self is who we worship. So the ultimate good is what's like me. So guess what the ultimate evil is? What's most not like me, right? Whatever's not like me is the worst, and whatever's like me is the best, because that's how I think. I can control that. I'm familiar. I can work with that. I fear what's different than me. And this leads to us labeling stereotypes, prejudice, racism, all these things that says, oh yeah, those people, no good, closed. And we literally, when we build a label, we build a path around those people in life. And everything we see in this world today and in all the politics and all the media and everything feeds this. Let's label people. Let's take an example of a people group, find a person in it who's evil and atrocious, and everybody can agree that's awful. And now let's assign that to everybody who looks like that, talks like that, has that job, lives in that place, speaks that language. Right? That's the world we live in. And Jesus is saying, no, there's another way. You've got to repent. You've got to, but your whole life is around them. Like, you don't ever interact. You follow the world's way of interacting, because in the spirit, we think that God wants to bring, he wants to make family. He wants to take people who are different because he made all of them in his image and wants to bring them together. But you're going to have some faith, and someone's going to have to show some grace, and people are going to have to act in love instead of in fear with each other. And if you'll go that way, what the world says is closed, the Spirit will say is open. I want you to hear that this morning. So important. So important. And so in the end, it's a really simple idea that you don't see the world the way it is. You see the world the way you are. That's why repentance is so important. If I'm not going to be willing to say, Lord, I want to follow you and your way and your life, if I don't learn to do that, then I'm always going to see what I fear. I'm always going to think what is bad is what is different than self. And then I'm going to live that out. And the Jews are doing that. I mean, the disciples are not happy they're going through Samaria, but they promise to follow Jesus. They're like, I guess we're going through Samaria, right? And they get to a well, and everybody's tired. And actually, it's the time to think about self the most. I'm not comfortable. I'm not where I want to be. It's really different, okay? And I'm tired, and I'm hungry. And, you know, the Jews are like, we got to go into town, go to a place that's prejudiced against us. We got to buy food. This is not fun. And, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of history there. And Jesus is tired, and yet this woman comes. And it's a woman, so a Jewish male doesn't even talk to a woman in public. And we find out she's got quite the story. And there's all sorts of labels for her life. And Jesus is like, hey, can I get a drink of water? And she's like, what are you talking? Why are you talking to me? She's like, no. And he says, well, you know, if you knew me, we'd have something to give each other. There'd be a good moment here. And she begins to, she doesn't see it. I mean, she's thinking like everybody else, and she's thinking labels, and he just keeps having relationship with her. All the Jews were taught, and all the disciples that came, they're just looking at fear. They're looking about what they're afraid of. But Jesus is looking at the fields. He's saying, man, this is what I want to change. You know, what's the greatest tragedy of Christianity in America with when the church actually reinforced all the stereotypes and all the wrong paths in society, right? I mean, that was our greatest tragedy. And it was just the church saying, we follow Jesus, but we're going to still think like the world. And Jesus is saying, no, now is the time. Open up your eyes. Now, we can see that, and we think, oh, yeah, on the big picture, society, I'm going to start doing that. But the truth is, it's as real as the family member that you've got the hardest time with in life, because you've labeled them too. So have I. And I've got to learn to not look at the label of the past, say this is who they always are going to be. But I've got to be willing to say, maybe there's some grace for today. Because if insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results, let me tell you what misery is. Expecting the same thing and never doing anything different. That's misery. So it comes down to the moment of, oh, it's my brother's birthday. We haven't talked in a long time. I don't know that I'm going to call. Path around. You know, hey, da-da today, or that neighbor who's, you know, they're always like this, or it's like, you know, I don't know, you know, there's a reason to reach out, and you're like, no, I'll go this way instead. It's just that. That's where this counts. Now, there are reasons we've built paths around, mostly because we've gotten hurt. It was literally not a good idea to go through Samaria. It was dangerous, all right, if you were a Jew especially. So there's a reason there. But as Jesus is walking through, he's not thinking of the world, ways of the world, and he's expecting, he's in faith and grace saying, no, God wants me to do this different. And you and I need to have a fresh moment. Are we going to let the same paths, worn paths, is that how we're going to walk in this next season? We're going to take all these relationships that are kind of hard and got a history of pain and failure to them, and are we just going to say, yeah, I'm just going to keep going around them? Now, I'm not saying open up and act like nothing's happened, but, I mean, Jesus is pretty clear. People need to come to him. They need to believe in him. There's truth to be found, but there's a fresh grace, and I just love this idea when everybody saw each other living out the labels of condemnation. So everybody's reinforcing it, and they're all acting like it to each other. Jesus sees a field of grace. He says these people could become family they were meant to be. It's possible. And in the end, the Samaritans are coming out, and the end of the story is many of them believe. They actually ask Jesus to hang out with them for 2 more days, and he does. It's crazy, crazy. No one would have believed it. And Jesus is saying, hey, open your eyes. You're in the middle of all these people, and all you see is labels. You don't see any lives. You don't see any souls. Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes to those people that, you know what, you need to have a fresh perspective. And say, now is the time to see the harvest. You're not the Savior. You don't got to fix it. But what does it look like to live like Jesus did? And you know, I've often heard, I'm going to invite Pastor Brian here if he's around. He's probably hiding in the Mexican place. Dear Jesus, make Pastor Brian appear. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Don't we appreciate Pastor Brian? Isn't he awesome? Come on. You ever hear the phrase, or I've heard it said that we often, how's it go? You remember the phrase that I don't remember right now? It basically says, when we're in the middle of conflict with someone else, we oversimplify and demonize what they've done. But when we talk about our side, we're like, oh, but you need to understand it was a hard day and I wasn't feeling well. And we don't do it to their side, we only do it to our side. For them, it's like, how can you be so insensitive? Why don't you ever do this for me? And then for us, it's like, well, I couldn't because it was a rough day and I was tired. You know, you ever see that? It's like we want them to have grace on us, but we don't want to extend the same back. Jesus actually said in his word, he said, you know, he taught us to pray, Lord, forgive me the way I forgive those who trespass against me. So I was praying for the sermon. There's a little bit more to go, but I just kept hearing amazing grace time and time again in this sermon. Like it was literally just beaten down my ears. And I just felt like we've got to remember the grace we live in. And if we don't do that, we can't see, like we see the world the way we are, not the way it is. So if we don't remember the grace we've been given, all we're going to see is labels. And I'm just telling you what, I mean, anybody else agree? Like, that's not working in our community. That is not working. It's like, we're going to have to see each other's people. And we're going to have to be willing to stop walking around them and just hearing stereotypes and little things on social media about those people. And instead, we're going to have to be like, God, would you actually build my life in such a way that I could build relationship and maybe see what I've never seen before. I'm getting a little choked up. So I just thought we should have a moment to sing Amazing Grace again, literally, in the middle of the sermon. Because I just felt like, what's the point of going on if we're like, oh yeah, absolutely, Pastor Sean, whatever. Next. I just think it's like, we need to remember the grace of God in our lives. Because praise the Lord that Jesus did not label me. And the people you appreciate the most are the people that didn't label you, who still treat you like a person, who's important in life. And, So I just thought we'd do this for a moment and ask God. One day he saw who I could be, not who I was. I want you to hear this. He didn't see just what I look like now. He saw who I could be. And don't try to do this by getting into your world of self-control, work, and fear. Like, how am I going to do this? Well, if I give them a chance, then I'm afraid they will. All right, if you want to go there, you can. I'm just telling you, there's nothing good going to come from that mindset. But I'm just going to invite you for a few moments, not to try to fix things, not to figure out what you're going to do, but just for a few moments, just remember grace. Because maybe someone just looks like this, but maybe one day they can look more. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brian if he'd literally lead us in the song. You stay seated. And we're just going to remember the grace that God's given us. Lord, would you remind us that what we see is not all that can be? That there are days ahead that you can clothe us and clothe those around us, Lord, with your grace, your beauty, your forgiveness. But Lord, help us to look at you and not people so much. There's no answer in how we're going to handle things or what we're going to do. It's only trusting in you and following you. And Lord, let us get a vision for what our relationships, our families, our marriages, our community could look like if we'll put on your grace and your faith and your love. And we just ask for it now in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I changed. I know some of you are getting tired of t-shirt. I think sometimes we need to remember that what we're seeing is not all it can be, that if we'll give each other a chance to change, if we'll be part of what Jesus wants to do to clothe people with forgiveness and grace, that there are greater days ahead, but we've got to participate in that instead of just shaming people for what they look like right now. And so the story continues that it's not about labels, but I love this second. We can't recognize God's harvest when we're looking at our problems instead of God's promises. I love what this woman does. She says, okay, you're saying living water, but you don't got a bucket and the well's pretty deep. How's that happening? And she's focused on problems. And, you know, I think what you and I call a problem, God calls a harvest. Remember, problems are his platform. They're an opportunity for him to do what we can't do. And yet we spend more time praying them away than asking God, why am I here? What do you want to do with it? We can't see the field if all we are seeing the limitations, the fences that are around that field. It's like we've just got to be willing to say, Lord, I don't know how and when, and you can do it through me. I can't picture this looking different than it is, but Lord, whatever you want this to look like, would you begin to show me? And this whole idea of when I am trying to find a solution to what's broken in relationship based on me, the only conclusion I'm going to see is limitations. Their limitations, my limitations, the circumstances' limitations. That's all we're going to see is limitations, because that's all self has got is limitations. But when we choose to stay in the Spirit, even when we ache, even when we're afraid, when we choose to trust that I'm part of God's family, I have faith that he will walk me through this and his grace will be more than sufficient for me and help me act in love and not fear in what I do, then all we know is, I think if God said it, God's going to do it. His miracles are there. I don't need to know how it's going to be. It's not dependent on my limitations. It's dependent on him. I'm following him. He's the miracle worker, not me. I'm not the savior. He is. And so I want you to hear this, because I think it's really important. I think sometimes we forget this. When you want to follow Jesus, you can't decide how to do it. You just got to decide he's going to do it. Because if you wait to how, you ain't moving. Ever. Because how do you know how God's going to do it? I mean, he's bigger than us. He's more than us. And sometimes you're like, well, God, I'm totally open. Just show me how. And God's like, you're just going to have to follow me. Hey, I got an idea, disciples. Let's go through the part of the country where people hate us the most, and we'll hang out there 3 days and make lots of friends. How's that going to happen? You're just going to have to follow me. Sometimes there's so much how in our life that there's no movement in our life. And so I want you to say this together with me. Would you say this with me? Faith goes first. Stop waiting for your circumstance to go first. Faith goes first. This is what the Lord's led me to do. Because if I'll do that, I'll begin to open my eyes and see things I've never seen before. But I've got to go first. I got to follow Jesus. I can't say, well, Jesus, I'm totally going to do that when you show me how. Mm-mm. It's not how it works. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Go ahead and follow me right now. All right, Lord. It was May 15, 2019. I'm at the clergy and the school system Faith Leaders Breakfast. These are my notes. You can pray for my handwriting and all those who have to read it. And I'm writing down these notes. They're telling me there are 4,231 English learners in our school system at the beginning of the year, which they're estimating is really over 7,000. And if there are just four people in that household, that's 28,000 people in our county who are like that. There's 101 different languages in our county schools being spoken. And the top language, of course, is Spanish. Then, believe it or not, it's Vietnamese after that. And there's 132 countries in our school system, representing our school system. El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico, and Honduras are the four most represented in our school system. And I'm reading about Fallen Creek and Salem and Carver and Thomasdale and Byrd. They're mentioning all these places where they're having the greatest need. And the reason they're asking us is because they're like, hey, if you can partner with us, we're just not ready for everybody who's coming in. So I'm writing this down on May 15th. And the Lord begins to remind me of the verse in Isaiah that says, behold, I'm doing the new thing, Sean. Do you not perceive it? Like, pay attention. It's a little bit like, hey, there's a harvest field. There's a whole group of people who, there are all these families who need someone to care about them. What do you think, Sean? And so I'm like, yeah. And so I go to some of our schools and I start talking to people. I have no idea how anything is going to happen, but I just say, how can we help? How can we be with the Latino, Hispanic families? What can we do for them? And as you know the story, this past month or a few weeks ago, we had the first ever all-Spanish back-to-school night for Thomasdale High School. We had over 80 members of the Hispanic community come to it. The school system had never seen anything over 20 people, Hispanic people, gather for any event in the whole school district they'd ever done and in their efforts. And we got to be with these families, and we got to share. I got to share with them and do a really bad job at speaking Spanish. It was enjoyable. Just on Thursday, I was hanging out with my son-in-law. We're at Tropical Smoothie, and one of the families taps me on the shoulders and says, you're Pastor Sean, right? I'm like, yeah. Hispanic family, like, man, thanks so much for what's going on at Thomasdale. They're like, we'll be there second service this Sunday. Be at church this Sunday. How? No clue. Did it happen? Absolutely. Because sometimes you just got to say, I don't know how, but let's move forward. So I'm going to share something with you. And it's a little crazy, and I don't know how. But I'm really believing that Cornerstone would birth a Hispanic education center. And I've been talking with Thomasdale and Curtis, and the whole idea is to provide a part-time Hispanic liaison for the school staff that would be at school and would help all of the students and the families that call in and need things because... You know, Principal Jones over there, who says hi, by the way. I told him he's going to do this today. He said, you know, just tell him. He said, Sean, you know, when any Hispanic family comes into our school, the only thing I can do is wait for one of my Spanish teachers to get out of class so they can interpret or call them back, and that's all I've got. And it's like, well, what if we provided somebody, and then their goal was to help the students and the family succeed in the school system because they like to know what you like to know when your kids are at school. But then what if we had an after-school program right here at the church? And what we would do is we would help those kids succeed, get up to reading level, whatever kind of level they needed. And then while we're doing that, we'd offer ESL and help them with English and the other programs that they need. And by the way, we'd probably let them know about Jesus. And yeah. So I'm meeting this Wednesday with one of the leaders of Chesterfield County Schools and the principal at Thomasdale. And we're saying, why not? Could this happen? They were saying, so Sean, do you need us to help fund it? I'm like, no, I don't want you to fund it at all. We'll fund it. And he's like, why? I said, well, it's going to be very Christian. So you're going to have to decide whether you want it. Obviously, when we're in school, we're just caring about families. We're doing what Jesus wants. But we bring them back here. They're going to get a little Jesus love on them. So we'll pay for it. Right? And so I just wanted to share it with you because I'm praying that a number of you, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a business person, whether you're just a prayer warrior, I'm praying maybe you'll join me in that vision and say, well, all right, Pastor John, let's get together and see how this goes and start praying about it. So we've got First Wednesday, this Wednesday night, from 7 to 8, and from 8 to 8:30, I'd like to have a little vision meeting. And if you're all interested in saying, hey, I'd be willing somehow to be one of those workers in the harvest field, because I feel like the Lord's Jesus saying, here they are. Because, and you know, and I'm not trying to be hard on anybody, but even churches tend to label that group of people and say, oh, that's a label, and, well, we don't know Spanish, so we'll go this way. It's like, well, why? Why don't we just go right in there and figure it out? I mean, we're the body of Christ. If anybody's got an answer in our community, it's us, right? So, anyway, Wednesday, 8 to 8:30, if you want to come on out and dream with me a little bit, I'm not going to tell you how we're going to do it. I'm just going to tell you what I'm working on. Good? All right. Last one. We can't recognize God's harvest when we are looking at the mess of sin instead of the message of the Spirit. Because you've got to get that in this passage that, I mean, he's talking in simple ways to her. He's connecting with her. But it's the word of prophecy that comes where he's like, you know, she's trying to like skirt around where she really is in life. And, you know, like, well, you know, I don't have a husband right now, so I can't really get him. And he's like, oh, no, yeah, that's actually right. Yeah, you've actually had five husbands. And the person you're living with right now is not your husband. Yeah, that's true. Doesn't say anything more than that. Just moves on. Talks about him. Talks about the message of the Spirit. And I'm telling you what, you and I, once we repent of sin, once we start to receive the Spirit, we've got to recognize that God wants to use us to speak to somebody else. So here's the thing, you know, in the flesh, I'm thinking through it, and I look at everything once I think what I can fix, what I can do, how I'm going to control this, what I'm afraid will happen if I do this wrong or right or whatever, and we just think, you know what, this isn't fixable. This is just going to be the same as it's always been. But when we get in the Spirit and we think this way, God says, hey, don't worry, I ain't planning to fix it. I'm planning to transform it. We're not going to fix the old. We're going to bring the new. I mean, that's what Jesus does. And it's not always been. It's soon to be. It might start out in a t-shirt. They might come out in a suit at the end of this thing. Like, you just got to trust a little bit. You got to, like, know what I'm saying. And it was the message of the Holy Spirit that changed everything in a hardened person's life. Sorry, I missed that. So the question is, when you're around the people that you're tempted to label or just see the mess that's in their life, are you at all listening to the Holy Spirit? What would the Holy Spirit say about that person right now? So what we're going to do, we're going to, in a moment, Pastor Brian wants to come out again. Sorry, Pastor Brian. We've got our now is the time bracelets for today. Yeah, another bracelet. Hallelujah. We know the most spiritual one of you has the most bracelets. That's why we keep giving them. But here's what I want you to do with this bracelet. I don't want you to keep it. I want you to put it on as you start your work week. And somewhere during that work week, I want you to, instead of just looking at the mess of the people around you, I want you to listen for the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you, and just maybe you're hearing the tune Amazing Grace in the background, right? I want you to take that wristband off. I'll say, hey, you know, I want you to say, hey, by the way, I just feel like God's saying, man, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel like God's saying he's about to do something new in your life. And so our church is doing this thing called Now is the Time, where we're just realizing that, like, God could do it now. So I just wanted to give this to you as a reminder that, one, I'll be praying for you. And just maybe start looking around a little bit more at what God's saying. I don't know how you're going to say it, but that's what I want you to do. So I don't want you to keep this bracelet. I want you to give it away. All right? Now today, I'll let you take like two of them. Next week, you can take more. All right? Because we got second service, so you can't take 17. Spanish is over there. So now's the time. And this week, instead of just getting the phone call, getting the text, oh my gosh, it's all a mess, take a moment Listen to the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying about that situation? That listen for the message. Focus on the message more than the mess. Okay? Gonna do it? Gonna try? Gonna nod your head? All right, good, thanks. All right. Now, by the way, so now's the time. We just got to recognize what the disciples did was what we do. We put our head down. We think about getting the shopping done. We think about getting through this week and getting out of Samaria. We think about, boy, this is not my specialty where I'm at. I'm not comfortable in this place. Let's just get through this. And Jesus is saying, hey, open up your eyes. Man, right around you. And if you notice, we're going to talk about next week, when he finishes John 4 in this story, he says, if you'll do this, you'll get to rejoice. And that's going to be the last thing we're going to talk about next week. Now's the time to rejoice. What does it mean to really rejoice? In faith, knowing what God is about to do in us and through us. I want to give you a heads up. Starting on October 13th, we're going to do a series called Taking Your First, we're going to call it First and Goal. And it's the whole idea that if there's really a goal in your life, you need to take a first step towards it. And we're gonna make it for all of our friends who don't go to church, this series. All right, I'm just letting you know now. So October 13th, got two Sundays that before it's going to happen. On the first Sunday that this happens, we're going to call it Football Sunday. All right? It's not the most spiritual label we've ever given to a Sunday, okay? But it's for a very important reason. All right? And we want you to come and we want you to wear your favorite football jersey and tell the people that are coming that they should too. And I'm just going to give them the first sermon about what does it take to get to the goals of your life? What does God really have for you? What's the first step you need to take? Spoiler alert, it's going to be to know Jesus, but we'll just, you know, all right? So you got 2 weeks to start praying about this because we're going to live this out. We're going to make a goal. We're going to say in the next 4 weeks, when we start this series, over the next 4 weeks, we want at least 101 new visitors to come to share the gospel with. In 4 weeks. We usually have like 170 in a year. And we're going to say, let's go for it. Let's make a goal and go first. Let's try to open up our eyes and see who we can reach. So next week, you're going to get some kind of things you can use to invite some people. I want you to start praying now. And maybe that person you give their wristband, you don't got to say anything this week, but maybe next week you might say, hey, by the way, all right? Well, I'll encourage you. It's going to be October 13th, 2019. So last question, and this is how we're going to wrap up. Are you willing to not forget? I don't need you to forget what's happened in the relationships in the past. But would you be willing not to give it so much power that you're not open for God to speak something new into it? I'm not asking you to forget. I'm just saying, does it have to have the final word on the relationship? Because, like, could it one day look a little better than it did when you're what you're seeing now? And so I'm just going to ask if, Pastor Brian, if you just play Amazing Grace one more moment. A big mistake we make, and this is, it's going to be important. I don't know if I can find that graph, right? We try to, so the disciples' problem were they were following Jesus, but they were still thinking like the world while they were following Jesus. So when it came to the harvest field, they didn't see it because they were more trained by the world than by the Spirit, okay? So if you have ever wanted to hear God's voice in your life, and you say you never have, it's probably because you've been trying to hear it from the world's point of view. Tell me about self. Tell me how I can control this. What do I got to do? And God, by the way, please answer because I'm super afraid of this, this, and this. And if you try to hear the voice of God in that mindset, I mean, God's going to be gracious. Somehow he's going to get you through. I can't explain it all to you. I'm just saying it's a lot easier to hear the voice of God if you'll step into the Spirit. Say, Lord, you don't even got to talk to me about me. How about talk to me about somebody else? Who do you care about today? Who's a who's a son and a daughter, or someone who needs to be a son and daughter that you love. And Lord, just instead of me thinking about what I see in them and what I can control and what I know, maybe I just, Lord, by faith, what do you think about them? Lord, what grace do you want to pour in their life? It may not even be that I'm supposed to be the one to give it, but just, can I just be praying and believing that someday there's grace for that person? And Lord, instead of being so afraid of repeating the past, or I don't want to get hurt again, or like, and I'm not saying those things aren't legitimate things you got to think through. I'm just saying, instead of those things, say, Lord, I just pray that one day, the way you've loved me, you love them. Like, I know you love them that way, but like the results, like, save them the way you saved me. Help them the way you've helped me. Just pray that. Don't even pray about what to do, because I think he can do it. So I'm guessing right now, most likely somebody's already on your heart. You don't have to forget, but it also doesn't need to be the final word. Say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? I want to hear your voice. So I'm just going to ask you just to bow your heads where you are. Take a moment to hear from the Spirit. Don't let self get in the way.